It's here and now. He's already lost his job. Now, former Penn State President Graham Spanier could go to prison. Pennsylvania's attorney general yesterday charged Spanier with leading a decade-long conspiracy to cover up the crimes of convicted child rapist Jerry Sandusky. The former assistant football coach was indicted a year ago this weekend, and what a painful year it's been. There were the sordid revelations, including how Sandusky drew his victims from his own charity for troubled kids. Then the firing of revered head coach Joe Paterno, who passed away not long after. There was a campus riot, a trial, dueling investigations, and living through it all, a town so entwined with the university, it's named after it. Our former colleague Adam Ragusa was born in State College, Pennsylvania. He grew up there, went to college there, and recently went back on the biggest game day of the season.
This time last year, I was living in Cambridge, Mass., working at WBUR, where this show is produced. I woke up, opened the laptop to see a national news story datelined University Park, Pennsylvania. Without reading another word, I was already upset. University Park is the name of the campus, not the town. Imagine living in Orlando and seeing a story datelined Disney World. State collegians have, in fact, a rich history of umbrage in this department. In 1953, when the Pennsylvania State College officially became a university, administrators asked the townspeople to rename their community accordingly. Via referendum, town rebuffed gown. On top of that, you get all the sports journalists calling it Happy Valley, a moniker I suspect they invented solely for the cheap turns of phrase it offers, like, things aren't so happy in Happy Valley as the Buckeyes lead the Nittany Lions 35-23. Plus, there's this little indignity we all suffer every time someone asks us where we're from.
People go, State College, is that the name of a town?
Leslie Yakarin and I were briefly an item in high school. 15 years later, her last name is Rattan, and the interaction she describes will never be the same for either of us, because now...
When you say you're from State College, people go, oh, State College. Oh, State College. And I don't, you know, what's the standard reaction? Yes, I'm very ashamed, you know?
Last November, we watched our hometown's trinity of living patriarchs collapse in a matter of days. Not just the father, Joe Pa, but the son, Jerry Sandusky, also a beloved figure, who forsook the glory of his own head coaching gig to humbly serve his master and the children. Also the Holy Ghost, Graham Spanier, an ex-family therapist who, while serving as president of one of the world's largest research universities for 16 years, also served as advisor to the Campus Magicians Club. All three men, to varying depths, fallen. When I first came back through State College after last Thanksgiving, it looked bombed out. A blue-painted sign on a tattered white bedsheet fluttered from the balcony of a student high-rise. We are still Penn State. Probably intended as an affirmation, but I read it like an SOS. We're still here. Get us out. But now, it seems, the indigenous wildlife has returned. PSU senior Brian Rayberg is on a couch, on a porch, with his bros, still drunk from the night before. Like Rip Van Winkle, it's as though he slept through the whole drama.
Who would have thunk it? We're the favorite against Ohio State. Who would have thunk it?
Despite crippling NCAA sanctions, the Nittany Lions have looked confoundingly unhobbled this fall. They've got a winning record going. My old Penn State professor and now friend, Paul Barsom, says this has restored some measure of normalcy.
Things will go on. Nobody knew if we could even have a football team without Joe Paterno here, right? So, you know, just the fact that the football program can continue, and that's really important to a lot of people, and I understand that. But on the other hand, it's almost like some sort of anesthesia or like memory erasing drug or something, you know, that, well, it doesn't really matter about all of this stuff because, hey, our football team's still doing well.
Hello? Can you hear me in the back?
In the shadow of Beaver Stadium, tailgaters shrug off yet another demonstration of angry Penn State alums like Larry Schultz.
I'd like to bring up our first speaker who's going to briefly recap for you 18 months of failures and mistakes by our Board of Trustees.
Fellow organizer Eileen Morgan reads the Riot Act against the board and new president Rodney Erickson.
Since the imposition of the sanctions, there have been multiple occasions when Erickson and others have made statements which appear to suggest their acceptance as fact, assertions that Penn State had a sick culture, which emphasized athletics over academics. In fact, the only place at Penn State with a culture problem is the Board of Trustees.
The refrain from administrators these last months has been, we need to move on. The local Chamber of Commerce, whose members make their bread on busy football weekends, has put up signs and banners around town proclaiming, together we are one moving forward. Still, there is deep division over what that means. Does the community cower contritely until the air is cleared? Or does it resist the narrative that all who've benefited from Penn State football are jointly complicit in one man's atrocities? My old professor Paul is on the fence.
We just don't know the facts. I mean, I feel pretty sure that when there's a lot at stake, a lot of people who are vested in it will bend their ethics to justify protecting it. And I would sort of expect that if the truth were known, that that's what would happen. But like I said, you know, we don't really know.
Indeed, despite a near constant stream of purported revelations over the last year, not much actual investigation has been completed into how Jerry Sandusky got away with it for so long. The trial focused on the abuser himself. The investigation Penn State commissioned from former FBI Director Louis Free based its conclusions largely on anecdotal accounts from witnesses who were not under oath. The crowd back at the rally thinks trustees got what they paid for, a version of history that heaps half the blame on those who've already lost their jobs, while spreading the rest widely and thinly. Paul points out that countless other criminal and civil cases are either pending or brewing.
So I don't know when State College is ever going to get to the point where you have a sense of, you remember when that thing happened? I think it's probably going to be 10 or 20 years before this is not going to seem like the place that sheltered and protected a known pedophile. Or is in denial about having done it.
As we wrap up our conversation, the students milling around down the hill from Paul's house are having a semi-subdued Saturday night. Somewhere, some sports announcer is saying it. The Buckeyes beat the Nittany Lions 35-23. Things aren't so happy in Happy Valley.
Adam Ragusea, our former colleague at our mother station WBUR, he now reports for Georgia Public Broadcasting in Macon. Lucky them. Back in a minute, here and now.